Huh? There's some good stuff in there. Doesn't have to be. There's some really good stuff in there. Anyway, turn to Romans chapter 15, verses 1 through 6. Essentially, this really should have been kind of part of the end of chapter 14. There, it's unfortunate how we put chapter breaks. But he's still talking to the stronger brother and how we interact with the strong and weak. And I put this up. I was wondering if I should do this again, but it's kind of, I guess repetition is the best part of education, right? That was how I described last week the differences between the stronger and weaker brother. And because there's a little more to think through when there's just having those two groups of people. There is, I talked about last week, there's the kind of the stronger brother that's going to abuse his freedom and take advantage of it. And, sometimes, if they're in your group, you kind of got to bring them along without making it say, no, Christians don't do that. A lot of times these are new believers and learning their freedom is exciting. Then there's as you mature as a strong believer, there's a time when you learn, you've got to really kind of subordinate your freedom and use your freedom. That's where I talked about how you can actually have the freedom not to do something and not be coerced by all your friends and the people around you to do things that that the Holy Spirit is convicting you of and telling you not to do. So there's a time when, as you mature as a strong believer, you begin to subordinate your freedoms, okay? Then on the weak brothers, there's kind of the weaker brother that Gary Enrich called him the professional weaker brother, that he's offended by everything. It's like, come on, you don't like blue socks, you got to have, it's like that missionary I talked about that was so embarrassed that she had to wear slacks. She would be, I guess in that sense, even though she's a mature believer, obviously, she gave up her life to be a missionary in Africa, but in that sense, she would be the weaker brother or sister that she could not go to church in slacks. It just made her feel terrible. And so you don't want to say to her, oh, come on, grow up. But then there are those that are kind of just going to have these convictions and aren't going to change. And we're not going to cause them, these ones that have real strict conscience, something I do is not going to really cause them to stumble. The issue that we're talking about here is when something I do or I have conviction of that my conscience may be not as strong as somebody or is not as tender as that other weaker brother, that if I do something that causes him to sin or to stumble, that's a problem. Okay, and that's what Paul is talking about. And he's going to kind of finish that up in Romans chapter 15, verses 1 through 6. So let me read verses 1 through 6. I'm going to read 7, but that kind of connects to the next part, but it's a great conclusion. So read along with me in Romans chapter 15, verses 1 through 6. Now we who are strong ought to bear the weaknesses of those without strength, and not just please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, to his edification. For even Christ did not please himself. But as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell upon me. For whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, that through perseverance in the encouragement of Scripture, we might have hope. Now may the God who gives perseverance and encouragement grant you to be of the same mind with one another according to Christ Jesus, that with one accord you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore, accept one another just as Christ also accepted us, to the glory of God. Last week, the title was When Rights Went Wrong, or Are Made Wrong, where we can use our right and abuse our right and cause someone else to stumble. And the issue, I think, with this stronger and weaker brother, it had a lot to do also with Jews and Gentiles. I mean, there are those two groups of people that were kind of button heads and trying to figure out how to live together. And Paul is trying to describe how we learn to live together, basically, and how we learn to get along. And he said, don't allow your freedom to cause another brother to trip up or to go against his own convictions. I was trying to think of examples of today. One of them, when I was growing up, and those of you that are my age might remember this, if you grew up in a city that where there were a lot of Catholics, what happened on Friday? Huh? They only ate fish on Friday. That's why, I don't know if you know this, that's why there's fish fries all over the place on Friday. That's a kind of a hangover from the Catholics that would not eat meat on Friday. That was like their sacrifice of the week, they would not eat meat. So if you had a friend that becomes a believer, say, and grew up in a Catholic home and had this conviction still in his heart that felt it was wrong for him to eat meat on Friday, it would be wrong for you to say, oh, come on. You should be past that now. It has nothing to do with whether you're going to heaven or not. You're on your way to heaven if you're a believer. Just eat meat. If I said that to a friend of mine that grew up in a Catholic church, I think that's an example of what Paul is saying here. Don't do that. You know, allow that person that, in that sense, would be a weaker brother to have that conviction and not eat meat on Friday. I mean, I don't know anybody that does that anymore, but I'll bet you there still are. I'll bet that there are people that come from a Catholic background, may get saved, and still have those kinds of convictions. It would be wrong for us to ask him to, oh, just give that up. Now, he may, on his own, or through the prompting of the Holy Spirit, give that up. But I think what Paul is talking about here is it would be wrong for us to do that. I also, one other example I had, there was a guy that I used to work with. I recommended that they see the movie, it was with Billy Crystal, and he, where he's having his midlife crisis, and he went off to City Slicker. I recommended City Slicker. Well, there's some tough language in City Slicker that went right over my head, apparently, and his wife was very offended. They rented the movie and watched the first 10 minutes and, you know, who is this that recommended this? Well, you know, went to seminary and I thought it was okay. And that was wrong. You know, I apologized to him and I said, man, you know, I've tried to be careful from then on recommending movies. But that's what he's talking about. We need to be sensitive towards other people's convictions, the weaker brother, you know, and it might, you know, whether she was right or wrong, it's not the issue. The issue was, you know, I should be more careful. The issue is not her, the issue is me. And we need to listen to what the Holy Spirit is convicting us of or not convicting us of. This second part, the Romans 15, if I had a title, the title would be Pleasing People for the Right Reasons. Now, if you've ever taken a personality test, I'm sure you have. I've taken a gazillion of them. I always come out the same way. And I am, you know, my personality is so skewed. It's like, the one guy said, I have never seen this low of a value on attention to detail in my life. I mean, and I'm like, that's what my job is most of the time. I'm like, no wonder I have trouble with my job. But it's like way people-oriented, you know, and it's like I have to really fight that. I mean, I have to kind of force myself to work on the details because I like being around people, and it's, you know, and it's like, but you have to be really careful not to please people for the wrong reasons. Okay, and I'll get into what I think Paul's talking about here. So look at verse 1. It says, Paul writes, "Now we who are strong ought to bear the weaknesses of those without strength and not just please ourselves." There's this, and Paul obviously is equating himself with one of the stronger brothers, okay? He's saying, those of us that are strong, and the word ought to bear means there's this, it's kind of like we owe this. It's not, he uses that word ought in other places earlier in Romans. It means you owe something to the weaker brother. We owe them something. What we ought to do is kind of learn to bear with them, understand their weaknesses. I should not have said to Chuck, that whose wife saw that movie, "Oh, you know, that's silly that she thinks that. You know, it wasn't that bad." I owe something to her. I owe more to her than think, "Oh, that's silly." You know, I ought to bear the, if she has a problem with that kind of language, I should have a problem, I guess, with that kind of language. I mean, honestly, I didn't even recognize it, which is kind of bad. But I ought to bear the weaknesses of those without strength. If she really doesn't have the strength to handle that, I ought to be the one that owes something to her. And not just to please me. Not just to please me. I think sometimes when you're one of these people pleasers, and the other thing they're talking about here, it's not really dealing so much with sin. This is a weakness. It isn't like I would just, you know, she's going to go out and start swearing. You know what I mean? I don't think that's what it's talking about. It's that she just has a, you know, her heart was troubled by that. It's not like she was going to go out and start swearing. I owe something to those kinds of people to not let her heart be troubled. So it's not like that she would go out and sin. It's not that. That's not really what he's talking about. And it's not just to please ourselves. We're not in this. You know, I'm not a lone ranger. Our world is so self-oriented that this is a battle. I don't know if it's battle for everybody, but it seems like it's so easy to be self-centered and not others-centered, because it's like one of the problems I think that us people pleasers have is you please this person and then this person is mad, so that's kind of a struggle. But I mean, they're what I think Paul is talking about is just have a sensitive heart to other people. It's as simple as that. You know, you don't have to live your life if, like I said last week, if somebody really has a problem with, I said blue plaid last week, if yellow striped shirts, or, you know, and say, "Well, you shouldn't be wearing that to the church. It's too bright." You know, I can't be, there's some lines to be drawn, you know, but I mean, but maybe I should listen, you know, and if somebody really hates that, don't wear a yellow shirt. I mean, if Don, like at Redeemer, Don Geiger really doesn't like applauding after a song. So you just don't applaud. But it's okay here, Aaron. It's okay. It's okay here. And then in verse 2, he says, "Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, to his edification." It's to build him up. It's to strengthen him. It's not. It has nothing to do with, if you're strong in the faith anyway, if you know, understand your freedom, if you understand that I'm on my way to heaven right now, that all of my sin is taken care of, it is no longer an issue of that I'm not going to stand before God and my sin was taken care of at the cross. I am now free in Christ. What I ought to think about is to please my neighbor for his building up. You know, I ought to recommend movies that build people up, not cause a problem. You know, that was dumb. I ought to, if I have a Catholic friend that doesn't want to eat meat on Friday, I ought not say, "Oh, you know, that's dumb." I ought to build them up, say, "Man, don't eat meat. If God is telling you not to eat meat on Friday, don't do that." you know, and build them up. And I mean, when you're, it seems like, I don't know if it's like this everywhere, but out in the business world, it is cutthroat. There's not a lot of building each other up. And it seems like the companies that do, and people are flocking to them, you know, because most of the business world is putting somebody else down to get ahead. I don't know if it's like that everywhere else. And it, but clients, I mean, they're not, they tend to, like, they want to keep you scared and down so that they can, you'll work harder, I guess. I don't know. And what Paul is saying is, you know, we need to look out for each other's good and build each other up, not tear each other down. I think, well, I'm going to get this, to this in a minute. So it's really to think about more about my neighbor's thoughts and convictions and not just focused on mine, you know. And don't live it to an extreme, because you'll be like me where you're trying to please everybody and, you know, you can't. Sometimes you got to say no. Some people you got to say, you can have that conviction, but we got to move on. You know what I mean? There's other. And there is a time, there is a people pleasing that Paul talks about that is bad. Turn to Galatians chapter 1. And I know you know this. Galatians 1 verses 6 through 10. Let me read them quick. And Paul writes to the Galatians, I am amazed that you are so quickly deserting him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel, which is really not another, only there are some who are disturbing you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even though we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to that which we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so I say now again, if any man is preaching to you a gospel contrary to that which we received, let him be accursed. Listen to this verse. For am I now seeking the favor of men or of God? Am I striving to please men? If I were trying to please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. There is a time when we have to say, you're wrong. You know, when it comes to the gospel, if there's one thing we all better agree on, it's that. It's the gospel. And Paul writes in there, you know, what you began in the flesh, what you began in the spirit, are you now made perfect in the flesh? We need to, that we're saved by faith and faith alone, by what Jesus Christ did for us at the cross. We need to, you know, that needs to be a foundation that all of us will defend. And if somebody starts adding to it or saying, well, you know, if you really want to be a mature believer, this is the way you got. Wait a minute. Don't add stuff to this. The gospel is pure. We don't want to get off on that. And there's a time when we have to say no. Paul said to them, let him be accursed. I mean, that was pretty harsh. And he said, I'm not, you know, am I trying to please men now or not? So in Romans, he's saying, you know, you ought to please your brother. Do it for his edification. But then there's a line he would draw and say, there's a time when you got to say, that's it. I'm not going to work to please everybody, especially when it comes to the gospel. Don't water down the truth. And the other thing that when it says in verse 2, let each of us please his neighbor for his good, to his edification. This is really kind of an inner conviction, a decision that we make that we don't have to parade it around. You know, I don't have to say, oh, I've given up my freedom for you. And I isn't, because I'm so much stronger and my faith is so much stronger than yours. So I'm giving up meat on Friday just for you. That's not what Paul's talking about. It's like, have you ever watched the Red Green Show? When he does his little counseling session, there's a part where he says, he goes into his workshop and he's usually tying a fly or something like that. And he says, now I'm talking to all you guys over 40. He said, understand this. Nothing good ever comes after watch this. I love that line, you know, because when you're my age and you know, when you're a teenager, you do that all the time. And watch this, I'll, you know. When you get older, you say, watch this. It's usually like every, you know, it's like a big joke afterwards. As believers, we shouldn't parade it around that I'm the strong believer and I'm giving this up just for you. Isn't that, aren't I wonderful? Watch this. You know, this ought to be something we do as our inner conviction for our brother's good, not mine. Not to promote how spiritual I happen to be. In the look what Paul says in verse 3. For even Christ did not please himself. You know, this is kind of the ridiculous and the sublime. Christ didn't at the cross say, watch this. He said, Father, forgive them. He didn't hang on the cross to please himself. He didn't hang on the cross and do what he did in his life to show, look how special I am. Even Christ did not please himself. But it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. He did what he did because he loved us. We ought to do what we do because I love you. And it seems like as you mature and you start, like, when you get married, you realize how selfish you really are. And you got to start learning to live together and compromise. And then if God happens to give you kids, you really learn how selfish you are. Because now you got to give up everything. I mean, and you know what? And you know what? You don't care. You don't walk around. I mean, hopefully my kids don't think I'm walking around saying, you know, you owe me. According to what Paul says, I owe them. Even Christ did not please himself. When he could have. I mean, he could have come, I mean, and we would have been sunk without hope. And then Paul, when he quotes the Old Testament, he says in verses, that's why I was thinking of going to the book of Judges, actually, because it's Old Testament, and, you know, it's not like I feel like, oh, grace is only in the New Testament. Hopefully you realize that's not true. Because Paul writes in verse 4, for whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, that through perseverance and encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. It's like, the first thing I thought about was Hebrews chapter 11, where you got the heroes of the faith, and a bunch of the judges are actually named in the heroes of the faith. And you real, let me read a couple of them. It says in verse 22 or 32 of Hebrews 11, and what shall I say? For time will fail me if I tell you of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah and David and Samuel and the prophets. God wrote or recorded those kinds of people in the Old Testament for our encouragement and perseverance. When you read some of those names and you understand the stories, Gideon, was he like a giant of the faith? Huh? Apparently. Apparently, God thinks so. And I read it, and I'm like, dude, putting out a fleece, you don't thank God at the, you know, he does it twice. I'm thinking, oh, man. God looked at him as a hero of the faith. Samson, you know, you don't have to know, everybody knows the story of Samson. I mean, you want to go, Samson, what are you thinking? You know, is it, you're not thinking. God looks at him as the hero of the faith. And David, a man after God's own heart, and I don't think, it just seems like God gives us those examples to say, you know, it's living by faith. It's not, and that's how we need to live together. That's how I ought to please you and please other people. It's by faith. I ought to listen to the Holy Spirit and the convictions that he gives me. You know, and it takes perseverance sometimes. There are people that are not easy to get along with. Right? Well, maybe you don't have any of those. I know you have perseverance. Because you come every Sunday. And listen to me. I mean, it takes perseverance. This is a long, well, the older I get, the shorter the race seems. But it takes perseverance. It's going Aaron, it's like you were talking about soccer. And I relate this to sports a lot because I didn't play, and you can do it if it's music, whatever your thing is. But in sports, I can remember days when I could not walk upstairs, the stairs of my school. I had to take one step at a time because I was so sore from playing football. And then I'm like, how am I going to go practice? I mean, I can't even walk. And then your buddy, you know, people are there, I guess maybe that kind of good peer pressure. They're like, come on, you can do it. And you, in sports, you sometimes have to learn to play with pain. I'm guessing when you start learning the guitar, you got to learn to play with pain because I tried it and my fingers hurt so bad I quit. but there's some perseverance, right? There's some hanging in there. I hate that word. It's not a fun word. You know, it's not perseverance. It's like, I just want to stop. But Paul says, these things were written to us about the heroes of the faith for our perseverance. They hung in there. They weren't perfect. They didn't always do it right, but they lived by faith. And then, when you do it, guess what you get? Encouragement. And folks, man, we need to be people that hang around, that just encourage each other. The week is beating us up. The business world beats you up. Seminary beats you up. School beats you up. I mean, it's like the tests and the you ought to come here and encourage each other, you know, and build each other up and say, you know, I don't like tests either, you know, and you're going to get through this and it's going to be okay. And God is faithful and he's good and he got me through this. And if God can get a person like me through it, he can get you through it. I'm like, what happened to my verses? Encouragement. And when you live your life with when perseverance and encouragement, it says that we might have what? Hope. The world is pretty hopeless. Outside these walls, we walk out of here and there ain't a lot of hope going around. What we need to do is start spreading that, you know, and saying, I know it's tough. I mean, these next 2 months at work are gonna be tough. Deadlines and things going on, and I need to go there and encourage people around me and give people hope. And then look at verse 5. And then it's not something we conjure up. It's not something that you say, I'm going to persevere. Now, in verse 5, may the God who what? Gives perseverance and encouragement, grant to you to be of the same mind one another according to Christ Jesus. And one hand, Paul says, you know, if you look at the guys in the Old Testament and what was written about them, you know, you can have perseverance and you can have encouragement. And then on the other hand, he goes, and guess what? God will give it to you. God will give it to you. I can't, when I think about going to heaven and standing before God thinking, you know, Lord, you remember, like, I worked every Sunday and it was really kind of hard and I have. He gives us this. He gives you the perseverance. He gives you the encouragement. It isn't about how hard you work. It's about how you've lived your life trusting him and living by faith. And that with one accord, you may with one voice glorify God and glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's all about giving God the glory that he deserves. And you know what that word glory means? I don't know. It's not like the angel singing and, you know, the thing in the Handel's Messiah. That's what I think of every time. The original word comes from weight. Did you know that? I think that's where we get the idea he's a heavy, you know, he's a biggie. This guy carries a lot of weight. And it's like saying we need to give God the weight he deserves. We need to make sure people understand how good God is. In the world, when they look at a group like this and says, you know what? The kids even sit and listen. They kind of get along. You know, they're different, but they get along. That's what I think Paul is talking about here. Even though we have differences, we can get along. We're not all going to agree on everything. But what I ought to do is look at you and say, you know, I'm going to live looking out for your good and not so much mine. A lot of times this is easier to preach than it is to live. This is a cool place, and we got cool people here, and we may not all believe the same on some issues, but what we ought to do is live for each other's good and encouragement. Let's pray together. Father, we do thank you for your word and the examples of the Old Testament of men and women that endured way more hardship than at least I have in this life. And you look at them and you say, these are heroes of the faith. And you give us those men and women as examples of not so much how good they were, but how good you are. And how much you love us and loved them and cared for them and gave them perseverance and encouragement and a hope that passes understanding that this world will never give us. And Father, I just thank you that we can understand that when your son died on that cross for us, that he brought us into a relationship with you, that he rose from the dead to forever make intercession for us before the throne of God. Thank you for your goodness and your mercy and your grace in our lives. It's in your Son's name I pray. Amen.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday.